January 6th, as you know, an angry mob of President Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building, hoping to somehow disrupt the final electoral vote count and certification of President-elect Joe Biden's win in the 2020 election. Five people died as a result of the assault on the Capitol. The mob rushed the seat of our democracy after more than 2 months of unfounded rhetoric claiming the election had been stolen and that voter fraud was at work in Biden's win. Supporters of President Trump say that integrity and our faith in our election needs restored, despite assurances at federal, state, and local levels that the voting was secure and not altered by outside forces. A record number of people voted in the 2020 election, driven by efforts to make mail and early voting more robust, much of that due to concerns about the pandemic. Joining me now to talk about how the current climate surrounding voting and the potential impact on future elections will shape out is Jen Miller. She's Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Jen, welcome back to the Sound of Ideas.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you again. Having faith in our election process and the integrity, that's key. It's crucial. It's important. But could that same assurance be used to now roll back voter access? Is that a fear?
Absolutely. And first, let me just say that security is incredibly important to the League of Women Voters. We are behind many of the checks and balances that Ohio and other states have enacted to ensure that our votes are that our votes count and that the vote that that vote count is accurate itself. I think that we could see a few things. Here in Ohio, I think it could stagnate efforts for improved access, like getting multiple drop boxes or early voting locations. I think we need to defend against laws that would be even more restrictive, like voter ID laws. Right now we have voter ID, but if it got much more restrictive, that could help. But also, there is a false dichotomy here. We can make the system more secure and at the same time improve access. And an example of that would be automatic voter registration when someone goes to the DMV and we note that their address has changed. Right now, that's not automatically updated in the voter files. This would, you know, automatic voter registration could do that, and it would actually make our registration rolls far more secure and accurate at the same time helping voters vote.
Do we have solid numbers on how many times something like that comes up where someone could have changed it and didn't? Are there estimates?
Well, what we know is that we have high provisional ballot counts here in Ohio, and a lot of times it's because people forget to update their address, and they think that we're already doing it. They think that the state knows where they live, and the state does know where they live. So it's a time to really use technology to benefit voters in the overall system.
Mm-hmm. Left hand, right hand. Yeah, great. Record number of people voted in 2020. It seemed likely, at least, that making voting easier played a role in the high turnout. Do you concur?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, here in Ohio, we were pushing for online absentee requests and multiple drop locations, and we didn't actually see much change in our system here in Ohio. I really think it's more about the general public being engaged in a way that we never have been or not in a long time in terms of understanding the importance of voting and getting to the ballot booth. I think we should look at 2020 at least in one way as a major success and just seeing how many people participated despite partisan divides and scary rhetoric and a pandemic. I mean, democracy is being tested and we are seeing voters respond in at the voting booth and showing in record numbers.
I know you heard part of the last segment. We were talking about the disenfranchisement of people in the medical field, voters, people of color. With voters of color, explain for me how vote-by-mail expansion, even early voting, helps discourage disenfranchisement of voters of color.
Yeah, well, so I think there's multiple things. One is, right now our absentee system was created, or what you might call vote-by-mail, was created 20 years ago, and it hasn't changed at all. So our postal service has changed, technology has changed, and yet we're doing the same kind of very slow, rely on snail mail approach. It's confusing. It's frustrating. Something as simple as online absentee requests, where someone can log on to their phone or log on, you know, at a computer in a library or in their house or work, and request that absentee ballot and know whether their request was approved or not in a timely fashion. That helps everyone. You know, prepaid postage, multiple drop locations also would help everyone. You know, I think you remember in Cuyahoga County, you know, the lines to the drop box this past year were sometimes backing up to the highway. If you're someone who doesn't have transportation or doesn't have a lot of time, having one location is not helpful. Versus what if we had drop locations in, you know, East Cleveland and various suburbs where, one, we would be reducing traffic, but two, folks would be able to get to those locations easier. That's going to empower every voter. Democracy works best when we all get to participate.
It's kind of interesting, not to go too deep into politics here, but there are already rumblings of changes and tightening procedures in states that were the center of the president's disputes. Now, President Trump won Ohio very easily. Are we hearing the same kinds of complaints here? Is there a move to tighten voting procedures because of what happened?
I think we need to be vigilant. I think that we will see those challenges potentially in every state. And we always need to be vigilant. Here's the thing. Voter advocates like the League are down at the state house always watching for those bad bills, those bad policies that could restrict access. And we will continue to do so.
You mentioned a minute ago about how Cuyahoga County lines were backed up to the highway. I was seeing that almost every day leaving work. Is it confusing that Ohio counties have different rules depending on where you live? Some may do things by mail twice. You have to mail in to get the application to mail in. Other places pay for your postage. That's got to be confusing. Do we need a statewide mandate that says this is how we vote by mail?
Well, so actually things are more uniform than one might think, but not in all ways. Things like the signature matching. There are various places where it could be more uniform across counties. Here's the thing. When it gets to the point that the way a practice happens, if you're in one county, it's slightly different than another, and it could really, your vote may not count because of that, or you may not get to vote because of that. That's when we really need to lean in and get policies changed or even go to the courts if needed to protect voters.
Many of the voter access expansions in dispute in other states don't really impact us. Does the League of Women Voters look around and say, okay, we're seeing this, for instance, in Colorado, this in New Mexico. How does that play in Ohio? Do you share?
Yeah, you know, here's one of the great things about the League, and I'm just so honored, is that we have a strong local presence, a strong statewide presence, a strong presence in D.C., as well as in states across the nation. And there is a lot of sharing across leagues of best practices, and that makes us wiser and better at serving voters.
The League of Women Voters also, as we know, an important resource for education, including how it all works. What's being lost in this dialogue that the elections are bipartisan from start to finish?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just it. You know, there are guardrails that defend the vote and the accuracy of the vote and the security of the vote at every level, right? You know, so all of those states that are being questioned now, they also have hardworking election officials, Republicans and Democrats, who are looking over each other's shoulders, right? Let's keep in mind that the courts are, you know, you can get Republican judges or Democrat appointed judges. And again, we have checks and balances through this entire system, which is why democracy is being tested right now. But we are seeing that democracy ultimately is winning, even though it's very stressful for us. And there will be, you know, backlash. We will need to continue to demystify how election security and integrity work, so that everyday Ohioans and everyday Americans can trust elections and continue to participate.
Rumors such as people who can hack voting systems when those aren't even tied to the internet, that's the kind of thing you're trying to discourage?
Absolutely. You know, we don't see hacking of our machines here in Ohio. And there's been a lot of investment nationally for election security, and that will continue to happen. It's not the kind of thing that we feel secure today, so then we're just done. You know, it's the work of all of us to continue to make sure that our systems remain updated and secure. And that's happening at all levels and branches of government.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jen Miller, Executive Director for the League of Women Voters of Ohio. You know, it occurs to me that we were talking about unsubstantiated claims of election fraud regarding the vote. There's also concern that that regards voter registration, and that could be changed or made more difficult because of these claims. Are you fighting on that front as well?
Well, I mean, I think the main way that we continue to fight on voter registration is, you know, Ohio purges voters from the rolls when they've not been active.
After a period of years,
Yeah, right. And I think our concern there is that there are, you know, going to be living, breathing, eligible Ohioans who just get removed from the rolls. We think there are much better ways to improve voter registration and the accuracy of the rolls, like automatic voter registration. So we will continue to work on those efforts. And a lot of these reforms are things that the Secretary of State and the election officials and the League agree on. The challenge is really bringing the state legislature along. And so that's what, you know, my plea to your callers and your listeners is just to make sure that you are following the League on social media, that you're a member, so that when it's time to stand up for voters, and we stand up for all voters, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whether there are members or not, that they know to take action and to call their lawmakers either about an opportunity to improve elections or to defend something that's going to make voting harder, but not necessarily more secure.
You're talking about just registration and how we all need to know exactly where we are. If Ohio loses a congressional seat, we have to go through redistricting in many ways. Is that a concern?
Well, look, here we are excited about the redistricting cycle this year because if you remember, voters voted in reforms in 2015 and 2018 that we think will help curb extreme partisan gerrymandering in the state. The way that I think it's the concern is not as much about losing the seat, although that, you know, shuffles things around. I think right now we are seeing the results of partisan gerrymandering. Even if you look at the Congress people who are questioning the vote here in Ohio, you know, at the federal level, you know, they're questioning the presidential outcome. All of those folks are in extremely gerrymandered seats that are secure. They don't have to worry right now about getting reelected. So I think actually we will see a more representative government, lawmakers who have to listen to voters, if we get a map that's more fair and where lawmakers really do have to think about their constituents rather than their big donors when they are making decisions.
You mentioned the idea of folks following you on your pages to see exactly where things stand. It's a lengthy process. Is there room for involvement from citizens? What would you like we, the voter, to be doing?
Oh, well, look, I mean, it is the voters who brought these reforms for redistricting. You know, it is the voters that created that victory for us and this opportunity to get these maps right, which we make once every 10 years. And so, you know, talk to your lawmakers about how you want fair maps. We will have opportunities for you to send emails or to actually attend a lobby day. We will have a speakers bureau, so you could have a speaker come to your community and talk about map making. We'll have a map contest where you can decide to make your own map and kind of play with it just to learn about map making or actually go all the way to submitting maps to be considered by the legislature. So there's so many ways to participate. I think the first thing is, you know, make sure that you are following us, that you're reading the articles by the State House media, and we can do this together.
We can do it together. Good way to close. Jenna Miller is Executive Director for the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
She mentioned the State House Bureau. That's coming up next. After a break, we'll check in with our team in Columbus for the latest there, including the possibility of pro-Trump protest at the Capitol in Columbus this weekend. You're listening to The Sound of Ideas. I'm Rick Jackson. We'll be right back.